Monday night travel. At the end of last month, the island nations of the Pacific were given a decent shake by earthquakes and tsunamis. The world responded with an outpouring of aid. But now the long work of reconstruction begins, and countries like Samoa are very keen to keep the business that supports the people going, and that's tourism. Two people who have been there very recently, Rod Imey and also Tracy Spicer, joining us in studio tonight, just to talk a little bit about the aftermath and how Samoa is recovering. Good to see you guys.
You too.
Thanks, Tony.
Tracy, you've actually fallen in love with Samoa.
I really have, and it's because of the people. They're the most family-loving people on earth, to the point where, did you know that Mother's Day and Father's Day are designated public holidays in Samoa?
I can imagine.
They bury their family members in the front yard of their whales, these beautiful open-sided huts that serve as the family home. So we fell in love with the people, and of course the place is absolutely spectacular.
Yeah. With unfortunate timing, you were due to release a DVD that focuses on Samoa very shortly. This tragedy really has impacted of the entire nation, though. You can feel it to the core, almost.
It has. Well, it's one of those nations that's gone from being fishing-based insofar as feeding the economy to tourism-based. They were just about to launch a big push in Australia. New Zealanders have always known about Samoa, but Australians regularly instead go to Fiji. So this push was supposed to start this month. Well, of course, now the devastating tsunami has stopped that. The good news is, though, there's plenty of places that were untouched by the tsunami that are still very safe and wonderful to go to.
Rod, there were two main islands, and Upolu and Savai, I believe. And when you look at the maps, only a relatively small area was impacted.
Yes, Tony, you're looking at the far southern coast as being the area that's particularly affected. Along the Lalamanu surfing strip, which is known as a bit of a secret location amongst the surfing fraternity, they're going there regularly, and I think pretty much all the infrastructure around the surfing and so forth was pretty much destroyed. I say hello to a friend of mine, John, who was took me on a beautiful scuba diving tour just right off the coast there, and we saw nine enormous green turtles just off the coast there. Unfortunately, he lost his daughter in that in the tsunami, so my thoughts go out to him. But that part of the coast makes up, you know, less than 20-25% the most of that tourism infrastructure. It's sure it's a very popular place, but you've got the whole northern island of Savai is still intact. You've got the whole northern coast from Apia forwards and backwards, all of which still functioning perfectly normally. The airport, everything is still, and the famous Aggie Greys, of course, is untouched.
I guess my experience is during the Asian tsunami, I happened to be in Thailand. And it was one of those very strange situations because I was on the Gulf side in Pattaya. There was barely a ripple, and yet on the ocean side, it was total devastation. So it just shows that there can be a huge disparity in what happens.
It's all luck of the draw, Tony, isn't it, really?
Absolutely. Tracy, as far as the tourist infrastructure is concerned, as Rod was saying, some of it's been damaged, but a lot of it, Apia, the capital, is fine.
Apia is fine, Aggie Greys is fine, and we touched on it before, Savai, which I think is the most beautiful island. Most people go and just go to Upolu, the main island, go to Apia, go to the Robert Louis Stevenson Museum, which is wonderful. Few people take that one-hour ferry ride, but it's like going back in time 100 years. You know, and there's probably two tourist attractions on Savai which are wonderful. One is that you can swim with the turtles. They have this beautiful saltwater pond where they rehabilitate the injured greenback turtles. And the other one is these vast lava fields from a volcanic eruption in 1905. And you've got these houses and schools and churches built on this crevassed black gunk. It's astonishing. It's a very beautiful, spectacular island.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, we should mention Robert Louis Stevenson because obviously a lot of people will know it from Kidnapped. And he lived a lot of his life in the South Pacific and died there.
He did. And he was named Tusitala, which is Samoan for storyteller. He fell in love with the people, lived there for the last 4 years of his life. He was told to move to warmer climes for his health. And he wrote Treasure Island while he was there. He was much loved. He actually helped some of the Samoan insurgency against the colonial powers at the time, so he was quite a political firebrand.
Well, Aggie Greys, we've already mentioned that, and that is absolutely a focus. It's a very oldie-worldy sort of hotel, Rod.
Well, you've got two. You've got the Aggie Gray's original establishment just in the capital up here, where you can see the wonderful fire dancing, and you've got several levels of accommodation for all budgets.
Okay, you're going to have to explain the fire dancing for us who haven't experienced it.
Well, look, anyone seen the wonderful haka that we see from the New Zealand boys for the rugby? It's related because they're all Polynesian, so it's based on the same cultural heritage. So, but however, what we've got is it was once with knives and swords, and knives and swords were getting a bit dangerous, so we did a display with blazing sticks. So it takes a bit of work, you know. It's not something you can just get up in the morning and decide to do. It's something that's handed down from father to son. So it's looked like baton twirling with flaming sticks. So and it's really quite spectacular, really spectacular. And you can imagine all the colour and the energy and the noise and the jumping up and down and screaming and yelling that goes with the Polynesian dancing ceremonies. It's a real showstopper.
Absolutely. Tracy, the people themselves are very religious, but obviously they love the tradition as well.
They do, and one of the wonderful things about the Samoan streetscape is seeing these humble farlays with literally no walls to let the breezes through and the kids playing inside. Then next door, these massive venerable churches. I mean, they grabbed Christianity with a messianic fervour, the Samoans, more so than any of their Pacific neighbours. But the Christianity permeates, you know, the way they treat each other. That was something that was quite comforting after seeing the tsunami. You knew that everyone would be looked after. The extended family would take the injured family members in and other family members in who'd lost everything. You just knew the community would support each other.
That's very true, and we've seen evidence of that.
Yeah, obviously, Tracy, they have decided to make a monument for those who were lost in the tsunami. In fact, a lot of people are buried with a room with a view.
Yeah, that's right. 139 people lost, and it's wonderful that they're being commemorated. I mean, I just hope, and I think I speak on behalf of myself and Rod, that they can move on from this and tourism can help bring people back to the island and give them a brighter future despite what's happened in the past month. Yeah.
Obviously, Rod, the damage that's been done, that's going to take quite a few years to repair.
Well, none of the infrastructure was particularly difficult stuff. It's very flimsy, the nature of it. It's just made from local timber and palm trees and so forth. So it just was destroyed so very quickly. I think there's the emotional devastation that comes with it, as Tracy was talking about, because they're such a community-orientated people. But from what I've gathered, as Tracy was saying, they really have gathered themselves up and the communities have really rebuilt themselves on that from that foundation. But that also means the hospitals and all the formal support networks are working very, very well. So the only thing that Australians, if they want to do something, I think is just look at Samoa as a tourist destination. Think about Fiji 20, 30, 40 years ago before it became the multinational cosmopolitan destination that Fiji is now. It is, like Tracy said, a trip back in time. You'll see how Polynesian people lived at the time. You'll really get a sense of their community, and it's wonderfully backward, if I can say that in the nicest possible way.
Sure. Tracy, obviously nature is a very big part of the equation, and in fact a lot of the holiday activities surround the pristine waters and the beautiful conditions.
That's right, and I must say, you know, you hear a lot of stuff about, you know, Tahiti, and it looks just like it does in the brochure, but I've never seen water the colour that I have in Samoa. Without disparaging Fiji, the beaches are more beautiful. You have this incredible mix of gin clear, turquoise and emerald waters, this triumvirate of beautiful waters offshore. It really is like a postcard.
What are things that you can make and do? What sort of activities? Obviously, diving is a big part of it.
Yeah, Rod can probably talk about that a bit more than myself. I did a lot of snorkeling, actually, although it was quite funny. They're not quite up with the eco-friendly thing in Samoa. Our guide underwater when we were snorkeling off Aggie Gray's Reef pulled off a branch of coral and gave it to me like a bouquet of flowers. So they're still getting there with the eco thing. But, Rod, it sounds like the diving is spectacular.
Well, diving all through the Pacific is wonderful. What I noticed particularly was, and I go back to my friend John, who took me for the dive off Lalimanu, which they called minefield, turtle minefield. And I'm thinking, oh, yeah, how many turtles are we going to see? We saw nine, and huge ones. And and he was apologetic, said, I'm sorry, we only saw nine today. Our record's 36, you know. And if you go diving anywhere else, Great Barrier Reef, Fiji.
And certain times of the year, whale watching?
Look, yes, Tonga's kind of got the edge on whale watching. I have to be careful. I'm not sure that Samoa is a great whale-watching destination. Whales end up there, certainly, but not quite like Tonga. However, the you've got three or four very well-equipped PADI-certified scuba diving destinations. There's Aqua Samoa near the Aggie Grays Resort, which is right next to the airport on the island of Upolu. And did I say it right, Tracy? And and that's wonderful. You've got, from beginners, you can do a Discover dive without your dive certificate, right through to experienced dives if you're advanced open water dive.
Tracy, what about if you are a little older and perhaps diving isn't your top priority? Is it a good destination as far as food and accommodation is concerned?
Oh, it really is. There's a spectacular resort called La Manamia, which is right near the Robert Louis Stevenson Museum, which is built in his old house, this beautiful old sprawling Queenslander-style house along, get this, the Road of Loving Hearts. Isn't that the most beautifully named road? And this boutique accommodation is spectacular. You've got 360-degree views of the Pacific Ocean, outdoor rain shower, luxury beds, massages. So you've got all that kind of infrastructure. That kind of stuff has only been there for about 5 or 10 years. So that's only starting to happen. And the food, they're getting the food right now. The food is spectacular because that's often something people complain about in the Pacific.
Yeah, obviously seafood is a very big part of the menu, but chicken and pork and the like.
Yeah, seafood's a very big thing, but the umu is the best thing, the roast on a Sunday. It's very similar to the hangi, you know, they cook it underground, but with amazing flavours. And a lot of coconut milk. They do this beautiful thing that's a bit like a ceviche called a coconda. So it's like fish cooked, basically, raw fish cooked in lime and then mixed with coconut cream, which is just divine.
Mm. Rod, any difficulty getting there these days or still daily flights?
No problem at all. There used to be Samoa used to have its own airline, which they merged with Virgin Blue to make Pacific Blue, Polynesian Blue, I'm sorry. And so they're running there quite regularly. No problem about flights at all. Easy.
And from Australian mainland, it's what, about 5 hours from Brisbane, Sydney?
Yeah, it is 5 hours from each. And the good thing is it's direct. A lot of other destinations like the Cook Islands, you have to go through New Zealand, but it's direct from Brisbane and Sydney.
Mm-hmm. And Apia itself, we've already mentioned that it's in pretty good nick and no difficulties at all.
Yeah, it's funny. You never think about visiting those capitals of Pacific countries. Mm. You just go straight to the resorts, right? But it's got beautiful existing colonial architecture from the German and the British era.
The only time I've actually been in there was when I was on a cruise ship, which was coming through the Pacific, and so therefore I've actually only been to the capital, so I'm a little bit light on detail. Rod?
Yeah, look, I have to congratulate P&O there because they have really worked hard with Samoan authorities to get the itineraries together The Apia is where the port is, of course. The port has been modernised and extended quite substantially. I've had quite a few discussions with the tourism people, saying that they really need to perhaps expand their shore excursions itineraries, which they can easily do because it's just so much to do. The diving, the cultural stuff, the nature walks, the beautiful waterfalls, the streams, the creeks. It's just so much to do. And it's just a matter of, like we were saying before, the infrastructure is beautifully undeveloped, so they need to bring themselves up a little bit to match the Western expectations. But that's okay.
Well, Tracy and Rod, as you've heard, are very big fans of Samoa, and I guess they endorse that it's still open for business and it's a good time to visit.
Yep, 100%. We love it.
Thanks, Tracy. Rod Imey also with us tonight, talking about Samoa and the fact that it's operating almost as normal this year, despite the fact that some of those coastal resorts have been damaged.